I don't. I'm calling the meeting to order. It must be 3:30. I don't see it on my calendar. On my, oh, yes, here it is. 3:35.
31,
thank you. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the prior meeting?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye. And then Arthur, you'll go back to the approval of the agenda.
Approve the agenda.
That's what I meant. Did I say?
You said approval of the minutes.
Approval of the agenda, excuse me.
I move we approve the agenda.
I will second that.
And there's all in favor, say aye.
Most.
Aye.
Okay, there's time now for public aye. Comments. If anyone has public comments for items not on the agenda today, they're welcome to make that available to us. Andrea, is there anybody from the public who's signed on at this time?
So we do have Linda Evans with us, but she does not have a public comment at this time.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Linda. We've already approved the minutes out of order, so I'm going to move the agenda beyond. The CEO report will table until Conrado gets here. If I can ask Chris to move his agenda.
Sure, absolutely. So what you see first is the Chief Administration Officer's report. So here we're just giving an update on the two audits that are ongoing. We're entering final phases on our normal internal audit, which we will be presenting at our October finance and board meeting. Additionally, we have this year a single audit or an A133 audit, which is with regard to the federal funds that we're receiving for the CARES and the ELC funding through the county. We have learned as this is developing that it's essentially kind of two separate audits, since there's the CARES funding and the ELC2 funding. They come under two different numbers that require separate audits. So it's kind of a very extended process that we're dealing with, but we're anticipating to have the results of all of those audits at our October meeting.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I assume we have to pay extra for these extra audits, right?
Absolutely, yeah, but they are covered by the grant monies that are coming from CARES and ELC.
Thank you.
So part of the audit process is our annual actuarial valuation for the Retirement Protection Plan. And so this year we took an approach that, Andrea, if you would go down to page, I think it's 35 of the packet. So in years past, and we've talked about this previously, where our valuation of the pension liability is extremely high. And if you look at what I've got highlighted there, the FY 2020 number of 9.3 million, that is based on all of the participants in the plan receiving an annuity payment for life. So when they retire, that they would continue receiving monthly annuity payments for the rest of their lives. Well, that's not how we actually disperse the funds to the participants. So when they leave employment of the hospital, we're actually making a lump sum disbursement either directly to the participant or they roll it over into an IRA. So we're in essence kind of overstating that pension liability on our books. So we changed the assumption this year to go based on the lump sum distribution logic. So those assumptions change some additional assumptions that are outlined at the bottom, but the net effect of this changes the pension liability from the 9.3 million there down to 3.5 million, which is the other highlighted number near the top under the FY21 column. So this is more reflective of what we do, where we're at. It'll be more easily explained to the public, and I think to the board overall as well, because there's always been that question as to why do we have a net pension liability on our books, meaning that we're underfunded for the pension liability. And so the next highlighted line towards the middle of the page, the net pension liability, in prior years, we've had a liability on our books of $4.6 million, which meant that we essentially were underfunded in that account for those participants. But by changing the assumptions, we're now overfunded by $1.8 million. So if you see the $5.3 million that's right above that highlighted negative 1.8, that $5.3 million is the money that we have in the bank today. And we only owe pension liability of the $3.5 million above. So we have more than sufficient funds to cover our liability there. So I just wanted to bring this to the attention of the committee that this is what the adjustments will be for this year, and it will be the new logic going forward. It will create a sizable net income for the fiscal year 2021, because it'll have about a $4.5 million adjustment towards net income. However, that's not pure dollars to the bank account. It's just a on paper net income figure. So just wanted to communicate that with the committee if you have any questions or anything you'd like to answer there.
You see, it's basically just a paper. This is just accounting adjustments. There's no cash dynamics involved.
Correct.
I have a question. It certainly makes sense to me, and I don't have a problem with it. I'm curious as to why this new math wasn't recommended by a previous auditor or in previous years.
It wasn't recommended by the auditors. It was recommended by me. And I finally decided, you know, there's been so many years of having to explain this.
Okay.
This way to not only the board, but to, you know, public community members, et cetera.
Okay, well, how will the auditors view this then?
Oh, they're fine with it. I've worked with the audit firm all the way through this. They're just waiting. They're ready to go with it. I just told them that I would like to make the communication with our finance committee today. And then
how does this compare with other governmental entities how they handle their pension liabilities?
Well, because most other organizations are annuity payments, that's why the report has always been done based on an annuity payment, is because most retirement organizations, you know, CalPERS, et cetera, are all done on annuity payments. But this, where it was a frozen plan and the participants receive lump sum distributions, it's been, you know, we've just had to deal with this underfunding component, because it never made sense to, you know, put $9 million into that account when we knew that we only owed, you know, participants for the most part around, you know, $4 to $5 million. So that's why it always showed as a, you know, large net pension liability on our balance sheet. But it always, you know, on the surface, it always looked kind of awkward why we were underfunded when we had, you know, sufficient funds to cover all the participants to pay them out. So this was initiated by me. Actually, I initiated over a year ago, but we decided to wait until this year because it's only every 2 years that the actuarial firm does a complete valuation. So we decided to wait till this year to actually make the change, and then present what those results would be to the committee for your review.
Moving forward.
Just wanted to make the communication so that it's not a surprise to the finance committee. Any other questions?
No, this is Letty. I guess I was, you know, the same mindset as Director Zendel, that it just seems so unusual that it's taken this long to make this change. But I just guess thanks, Chris, for following this for the last couple of years and you know, finally making a decision that this is okay. So just thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay, so if there's no other questions regarding that, we can pop back up to the CAO report.
So this is going to be mentioned at the board meeting, Chris, or no? Is this just for our internal?
This is just informational for the finance committee now.
Okay.
We will be presenting the actuarial report as well as the audit report at our October F&A committee as well as the board committee or board meeting.
Okay. And will it be mentioned at that time? And will it get sort of a seal of approval from the auditor that, yeah, this is fine?
Yeah, no, we'll make sure that that's communicated and we'll give the explanation. You know, it'll look a little awkward this year because we're, you know, changing the assumptions. It's a sizable adjustment in this fiscal year. However, going forward, it just makes more sense, and the balances on our balance sheet will be more reflective of how we actually handle the plan.
So do there have to be any adjustments? Is there any adjustments needed for anything else? I know that the question that Director Shore made about that this is just really a paper, that on paper, that it doesn't really increase our values. So is there any other adjustments that need to be made besides it just looking awkward this year?
No. All this is it's truing up our balance sheet.
Yeah.
So as a result of truing up our balance sheet accounts, it requires an entry to the income statement, which will make our income look around $7 million. So it's a sizable adjustment that's reflecting to net income, an adjustment of about $4.5 million for this assumption change. But like I say, you know, some people look at net income as cash, and I just wanted to clarify that it's not cash. It's a non-cash item that increases our net income.
And yet the real impact will be on the balance sheet when it flows through to the balance sheet.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I say the only real impact will be the final adjustment will impact on the balance sheet to the positive.
Correct.
We'll change our equity position, but again, it's all on paper.
Correct.
It's just evening things out, so to speak. We've been overcompensating all these years, and now it's just coming back into line.
Yeah, and the only reason I emphasize that it's a paper-related number is that I don't want people to associate it as that's $4.5 million that's going into our facilities replacement fund. And it's a non-cash item.
No money to spend.
Arthur, it's a little difficult to understand you. Can you speak into the mic?
I said it's no new money to spend. This is just accounting dynamics. Well, why don't you continue on with your report, Chris?
Okay. Thank you. So leasing activities at the Medical Plaza, we do finally have the two new tenants finally executed lease agreements for Desert Oasis Healthcare, as well as Premier Fertility Group. That's not the exact name, but anyway, Premier Fertility. And they are moving forward with their tenant improvement work. We do have one suite, which is Suite 1 West 204. Dr. Kim, I still need to see if he'll respond. I've sent a few messages to him. I don't know that he's still interested in that suite. or not. I'm getting the impression that he's not, since I have not heard back from him. So we have one suite that is vacant. Actually two that are now vacant, because we have had that short-term one, the 800 square foot suite that we were doing with the sleep center, that we're just paying the enough to cover the CAM charges, but we let that expire the end of August. And so that suite is available for leasing as well. So we have two suites that are currently available. And that's all we have on the Medical Plaza. Any questions regarding?
Did we actually have 1 month where we had full occupancy before we started losing some?
No, we had the one suite, the One West 204 that it was holding for Dr. Kim, but it's kind of gone silent on us, so.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
It was close, but our broker seems to indicate that the you know, that the smaller suites are, you know, fairly marketable. So I'm anticipating that we'll have some tenants in there before too many months.
Okay, moving along, well, let's look at the financial reports. Are there any questions on the financials, page 8 to 18? I have one question on page 9, but I'll reserve that till anybody else has any questions or concerns.
No, it's just not, you can't really reach many conclusions from this 2 month report.
Okay, my question, Chris, on page 9, you're demonstrating a lower income from lower property taxes. Can I assume that's just a timing issue?
It is a timing issue, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other questions related to the financials? Okay, the accounts receivable agenda on page 19. I have a question, but again, I'll reserve mine unless anybody else wants to go ahead of me. And it's it's a simple question. Here you have Dr. Bench Quaroon, the third item on the agenda. He's 1 to 30, yet you have him classified as a slow pay. I just wondered why he's a slow pay if he's inside of 30 days.
Well, we just label it as that because, you know, in a perfect world, they would be paid timely and it would be a zero balance. But, or if they were paid ahead of time, it would be a negative balance, which you see on some of those that are, say, prepaid. But the $287 is an outstanding balance that we're getting worked out with the tenant. So,
but do you consider him a slow pay, or is that just again something you've defined?
No, it's sometimes in the timing of things, they don't get the updated amounts paid. So, and Eric's on top of this. As you can see, I mean, there's only the one, what we're calling slow pay. It's not extremely slow, obviously, but all the others are paid in advance. And then we have our intercompany balance with the foundation.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions regarding the aging accounts receivable? Moving along to the district deposits, page 20 and 21 through 26. I just have just an informational question on 26. Deposits from tenant, why do they pay us money? Do they occupy space in the building?
They lease three suites.
I just forgot that. Okay, page 27, the check register. Again, just would you mind, refreshing my aging brain? Who is One Future Coachella Valley?
They're one of our grantees.
I see. You know, I think I mentioned this last time. Is there any way to isolate putting a G next to the grant disbursement so we can distinguish them from operating disbursements, or some other way to make it easy for those of us with relatively marginal retention powers to recognize one category versus another?
I mean, we can, yeah.
If it's not too much trouble, I would personally appreciate it. If it is too much trouble, to quote Rosanna Dana, never mind. It doesn't really make that much of a difference.
No. I mean, we're adding, some description to other items like the director stipends and.
Okay. All right. Any other questions regarding that? Any other questions regarding the check register? On page 29, again, refresh me if you don't mind, on Magnum Mobile, is that our vehicle?
Yes, that's the initial down payment.
Okay. Are there any other questions regarding the financials, folks?
No.
Okay, if that's the case, we can move on to, we've already discussed the retirees. We noticed one additional individual has moved along, and we're down to 153. The pension liability issues, I don't think there's any concerns about the pension issues. Questions regarding that? If I don't hear any other questions, is there any new business that's not on the agenda that anyone would like to discuss at this point?
We've got the grant payment schedules if you want to just highlight those. One thing I'd like to point out there on page 36, the yellow highlighted line, we've got the $4 million, that's the budget for the year for the grant programs, and then $1.8 million that was the amount that was forwarded by the board for carryover this year.
Yeah, Les, this is your opportunity to re-raise the questions on this, if you have any questions relating to this.
No, except why isn't the 96,000 or $98,000 subtracted from that, saying what's really left?
I'm sorry?
I don't understand the question.
Okay, hold on a minute. I got to enlarge this. We've paid, so far,
oh, I see what you're saying.
$98,000 worth of grant payments. Shouldn't that be subtracted from the $5.8 million?
No, because that's, if you look at the line items above, those are individual amounts that are paid against the, Andrea, if you would move up a little bit, please. No, other direction, sorry, down. So you'll see, up a little bit. I want to see the items.
What page, excuse me, which page are you referring to?
Page 36, but I want to see the items in red. Right there. So the 98,000 that you're talking about, Les, is the 78,000, the 5,000, the 1,500, or 15,000.
Oh, it's prior year. I'm sorry.
The prior year grants.
Got it. Okay. Never mind.
Okay, any other questions relating to the outstanding grants or any new business for the district? If not, I'd like to solicit a motion to adjourn.
How about approval for the...
Approval, excuse me. Do we have an approval of the financials as presented? Motion to that effect, ladies and gentlemen?
Letty just mouthed one, and I'll second it.
And all those in favor? Let's say
aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. And now I will solicit a motion to adjourn.
We don't need a motion to adjourn, but anyway, I'll make it if you need it.
Thank you very much. And therefore, we will not second it because it's not necessary. I'd like to use this opportunity to move the agenda to the foundation financials and call that meeting to order at what time would you say, Andrea?
3:56 p.m.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to call for an approval of the agenda as solicited.
So moved.
Second?
Second. Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
This is an opportunity once again for the public to comment on any matters that are not on the agenda. We will not be reacting to them, and there's a 3-minute time limit should someone take that privilege. Is there anybody that wishes to comment from the public, Andrea?
No public comment.
Thank you so much. The minutes of July 13th are available for review. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Conrado, we didn't, you know, we owe you an apology. We didn't give you an opportunity on the district to offer a report. Can we do that and without getting into trouble, without adjourning and re-adjourning? Can we add
any? Thank you, Arthur. Thank you. There is nothing to report.
Okay. And do you have any agenda for the foundation meeting?
Yes, we do. And we have an item that requires, well, we have a couple of items that require board approval. The first one is the finance report, and the other one is an addition of a temporary position that we're recommending.
Okay, we'll defer on the that'll come up on the other matters, item 7. As it relates to the financial report, are there any issues? Some concerns related to the financials. From my perspective, they look pretty consistent, and I have no questions. Do any of the members of the committee have any questions related to the finances?
No.
Can I call for a motion to approve the financial reports as submitted?
I'll move approval.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion is carried. Conrado, please introduce item 7, the programmatic assistant agenda that is on ready for your consideration.
Thank you. This is an item that we are recommending, and it's based on all the work that we're doing with the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. This is supposed to be a temporary position, but the demands that we have on only one man who's on the field all the time, and that's Alejandro, and the possibility that we have to receive some additional funding from the County of Riverside in the near future to continue to support the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative. We believe it is important that we can provide assistance to Alejandro, because there are multiple events that are taking place at the same time in different locations, and they all require similar level of support and coordination. And this is why we're making this recommendation to approve a position that will be temporary and that will be funded primarily through grant funding from future funding from Riverside County.
Is the funding solid, or is it contingent at this point, Corrado?
We don't have the funding right now. It will be contingent unless we can make some budget modifications, but we want to have this position, this job description approved by the board before we apply for the additional funding. So once we have the money, we can hire, but we want to make sure that we have all our things in order.
All right, if I understand what you're saying, is you will eventually have, when you have the money in hand, you'll commit it to a position if this position is approved.
Correct.
Okay, is there any other questions relating to this?
I just have a comment. That in the job description, would it be a good idea to add on there that the position is contingent on a grant? So that way, if you decide that, well, once the person is on board, and if you decide that you don't want to continue with that person, that if the grant ends, you know, then of course, if the new grant comes, you can reassign, but to not have any misconceptions that I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. You know, just the idea of putting it under.
We understand, Leti. We understand your comment. And I will ask Alejandro to also provide some input here.
Yeah. Thank you, Conrado. I think this position is crucial given some of the activities that I foresee coming down the pipeline regarding, you know, the booster shot. We're going to be returning back to, you know, the farm worker initiative that we had, you know, vaccinating all the farm workers. Returning back, we're trying to compile a list of individuals that that were vaccinated through our events in partnership with Borrego Health, Rite Aid, Desert Care Network, and also the county. So we could have a group of promotoras calling them to schedule them for these, you know, vaccination events. And now more and more we're seeing mandates coming down from different government entities for mandating, you know, their certain employees to get vaccinated. We are hopeful that you know, the school districts might go down that route as well. So in preparation for that, I think, you know, having somebody to assist me both out in the field and doing administrative tasks that I've been doing both at this time, I think will be beneficial to increase our capacity to be ready for, you know, these upcoming events and clinics that we'll host to ensure that everybody that was vaccinated through our events receives a booster vaccination. If not, also students that have not been vaccinated if the school districts decide to go that route.
Thank you. But it's my, just to make sure we're all on the same page, it's my understanding that we are considering a temporary position, even consistent with the funding that is expected from the county, and that as things evolve, there's a certain fluidity that will, Leti articulated, that we have to consider. But the bottom line is it's a temporary position contingent upon proper funding from the county. Is that a fair expression of it, Conrado?
Can I say something? Or do you want to answer the question, Conrado?
No, I would love to hear you, Dr. Stengel.
Well, first of all positions are temporary.
That's not true.
Hold on a minute, let me finish. If we've already said that it's contingent on funding, then it's contingent on funding. I don't know, by the way, that needs to be in the job description. We've made it clear that we want that this is, and I do believe this is necessary because we have more work now than we can handle, and we anticipate going into the future, probably forever, having more work than we can currently staff for. I would include, for example, the mobile van, managing this mobile van, which I think we haven't actually had a budget for yet. But you know, in order for us to make good use of that mobile van, somebody's going to have to be managing it. And I could see this person helping Alejandro do that. I also wanted to point out, I don't want us to get too far ahead about the booster thing, okay? There are going to still be a lot of people that need to have their first and second shots. We don't know yet what the booster recommendation is going to be and who it's going to be for. I don't want to hang anything on boosters because there's too much up in the air. But I think if we approve this position, it's approved, and then we leave it up to the administration to use it wisely. And if it's not used wisely, then we hold administration accountable. But I don't know that this needs to be labeled as a temporary position. That might make it very untenable for somebody looking at the job, or if we're applying for grants, I don't know how they would view something temporary. So I'm not so sure we have to have it in writing.
Are there any benefit issues that are hooked on to the agenda with and without temporary definition?
If it's temporary, they are not entitled to the full benefit package.
Correct. And that's is that the intent, Conrado, that it not be?
Yes, and it gives us the flexibility to say if we find someone that we can say, oh, this is a keeper, and we want that person to be the manager of that program that will be coming with the use of the mobile unit, we can then change that classification to say it's a permanent position.
Okay. So you do want to call it temporary then?
Yes.
I thought there was some resistance to calling it temporary. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, but it's something that, according to our HR consultant, that we wouldn't put that into the job description.
But it's labeled as such. Donna, you had a comment?
Well, I was just going to say, just for transparency's sake, we've been down this road before when we got a California endowment grant and we brought in Megan and Annalisa. They knew that they were coming under a grant funded position, and actually the grant was built in enough where we reimbursed them for their health insurance. I believe it was through a stipend. They had their own health insurance. But, you know, and it worked out well with Megan that, you know, she proved herself. And when the grant ended with TCE, you know, there was a position that was created for her to stay on board. So, you know, there's always those kinds of opportunities. But I think for transparency, you should say it is a grant funded position.
Right.
Just that, not so you're not giving somebody a perceived notion that they're going to be here, you know.
Well, it'll be communicated, but it'll be communicated in the job ad or when we're publishing, but not in the job description itself.
Correct. So it's a full-time position and you're not giving benefits, is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, I'm not comfortable with that.
It's also looked at as, I think initially I was understanding, Conrado, that it could be a part-time position initially.
The thing with part-time is that it's very difficult to estimate the hours because we have Alejandro's working Saturdays and Sundays at night. Right. And we anticipate that this person is going to be doing the same. So I concur with you, Director Sandel, that it is an uncomfortable situation. We were in that situation before with Megan, and we had to make adjustments to make sure that we were offering the benefits that employees deserve. And I think as a healthcare district, we should be offering health benefits.
Or if they already have health benefits, you pay them the stipend that they can pay. They can continue with their own health insurance. We've done that before with grant funded positions as well.
Right, because when it's considered a temporary position, that's what we did before. We gave a stipend and they can pay their
own insurance
coverages. Yeah.
Well, if it is a grant funded position, once the grant ends, that position typically ends, unless we find that person can fill other roles within the organization. So I will be comfortable if we don't call this temporary or part-time and be able to offer the health benefits that a person is entitled to and deserves.
I guess the point I want to make is that I see our expanding in the community, doing more, getting grants that we combine with other entities, especially the county, but other people. And I can't see, if we're doing a good job, I can't see this position going away. And I want to make sure we get the right person. And I mean, Alejandro is doing amazing work, but he only has 24 hours in the day. And we want that position, the function, to be expanded, and it needs to be there.
All this being said, we are going to consider the position contingent upon funding from an external source, and predicated on that, we'll make appropriate allocations of funds to that individual, whether it's in the hourly rate, because there's a wide range in the hourly rate, or adjustments as necessary. Is that a fair way of allowing Conrado and Alejandro the flexibility they need to move this agenda.
I will ask Chris to make sure that we have the appropriate language in the report to allow this person that will fill this position to receive benefits that they're entitled to.
Now, how does this work with the budget? Do we increase the budget to cover this person? Or do we just go, or is there already budget there that's not designated?
This is contingent upon outside funding, Les, according to my understanding.
Correct. Once we receive funding from a grant source, that the budget will be adjusted to reflect that.
And this will be purely through the foundation?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, well, can I call the question? Any other comments?
I just want to clarify, though, that if we're going to do this as a full-time person to glean the benefits that other employees do, they will be paid by the district, but we will allocate the costs over to the foundation to be covered by the grant funds when those grant funds come in. So just wanted to clarify that.
Understood. All in favor, I want to call the question. Is there a motion to accept the proposal?
So moved.
Just one question, Chair Shore. Is the motion include the contingency of the funding?
Yes.
Okay.
That was Conrado's recommendation at the onset. All in favor? Aye.
Thank you.
The motion is carried. We're just about ready to adjourn, but I really would like to raise a new piece of business, at least for preliminary discussion. And I want to qualify my thought process by saying I know that I'm somewhat ignorant about the economics of governmental agencies, but I want to raise the question of developing a fundraising strategy for us. Now, we've heard people say, "Oh, we don't want to compete with our grantor, our grantees," and I understand and I respect that concept on the one hand. But on the other hand, every foundation that I am aware of has as its core, and they aren't governmental agencies. That's my limiting factor. A definitive strategic plan for external fundraising that has, I don't want to say a life of its own, but has a momentum of its own. And I can imagine a wide variety of strategies that do not compete necessarily with our grantees, ranging from golf tournaments to corporate sponsorships and on and on and on and on and on. And I just wonder if I'm missing something about limitations of government agencies engaged in developing a track that way. And if it is possible, I'd like to make that an agenda item for some future workshop or strategic planning process. If I'm all wet, just please let me know and I'll stop talking about it. But to me, that's the way that I see that we grow our economic basis that would allow us to continue to expand the impact we have on the community. Because for every dollar we raise, a high percentage of those dollars at the margin, since our overhead is relatively fixed at this point, would be going to program distribution. So, if it's not an appropriate discussion item for now, I'd be happy to table it. If people want to have some preliminary concepts, I welcome their thoughts.
Can I make a suggestion? And that's that we, as the committee, direct staff to explore this issue, talk to legal, find out what other healthcare districts are doing, and then bring it back as an agenda item to the finance committee at a future date.
That's a great idea. Any other thoughts, any other comments before we adjourn?
Isn't this a strategy of the strategic plan? So wouldn't it be better to look at it through the strategic plan as a goal of the strategic plan?
Well, it would be, except that the strategic planning process has pretty much come to a close in terms of input. And this would be creating a new channel, a new track. And I think by having staff come back to tell us what the potentials are we could then incorporate it into the strategic plan. I think it needs to be in there if it's deemed an appropriate a channel for us to develop.
And I think staff could decide where it should go, you know, whether it goes to strategic planning, finance, or both.
Right. I just wanted to sensitize us. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a tremendous opportunity in this town. And you know, just as an example of something which we should be mining, there are 11 casinos in this valley, and there should be some sort of collaborative with that, with those cash cows, excuse the expression, to help us and put that money back into the community and get the public recognition for it through our channel. But in any event, I don't want to get ahead of us. It's just a field of opportunity that then, unless Jeff knocks it down or the committee or the staff decides that it has no merit, won't go. But if it does, at some point we need to expand our reach and our ability to generate monies for our own benefit. Okay, I am talked out. Thank you very much for listening to me. I appreciate that. Dr. Zendel has made it clear that we don't need a motion to adjourn. Therefore, I will unilaterally adjourn this committee meeting with everyone's approval.
I object to it. No.
Okay. Well, we have one objection. Let the minutes reflect that. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.